Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, here live from Toronto. In fact, just outside of the Big Brother Canada 7 house. We got back from the taping earlier today, and we are here to recap everything that just happened on the Big Brother Canada 7 finale. We've got a great show for you in planned here for you tonight. So with me, who attended the taping with me, is Matt Liguori. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here on the finale recap. I really appreciate you guys letting me come on instead of sitting in the room with Taryn while he talks and has all the fun by himself. So happy to be here live from the bathroom in our hotel room right next to the toilet with all the towels. I am in the bathroom. Yes. For those watching in the video.
You were supposed to keep that a secret.
We're doing our best to prevent the echo that might occur because we're in the same space.
I'm not on the toilet.
First of all, it's very, very slight, if at all. And second of all, it's totally worth it because I want to hear from both of you all the tea.
Yes. You heard him. Brent is also with us here tonight. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm great. Congratulations on winning the draft, Taryn. I believe you won the draft, and I believe you had to have won the stock watch. I don't know
how. Well, we will find out on the final roundtable.
All right. Well, I know I didn't because I went all in on Kira, and that didn't pan out so well.
Spoilers.
Oh, my God. Please, what a spoiler. I'm actually more interested to see if the patrons beat you than whether or not we did.
We didn't.
Yeah.
No one did.
Yes. Also with us here tonight is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. From my behind the scenes, what you missed was when I came on the podcast, I was not dressed up and everyone else was wearing collared shirts and ties and everything. And so I immediately went to go change because I felt left out. So now I'm in my finale best and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yes. Well, look, yeah, attending the finale, you got to dress up. Same thing for finale podcasting, Melissa. You should have known better.
Yeah, I know. Well, normally I'm in some sort of costume getup, you know, because I've got the crown usually or the veil or whatever. Could copy Brent. And this time I'm in the middle, I guess. I'm satisfied with the result. But at the same time, I lost the draft. So what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I told you guys, don't call it a comeback.
Ugh, I'm not going to call it a comeback. Thanks.
I have won the draft because Dane is our Big Brother 7, Big Brother Canada 7 champion. And I mean, I think I want to get this out of the way right away. Best Big Brother Canada winner that we've seen, in my opinion. I don't know if you guys are going to disagree. That's a no. That's definitely
there. No, it's that you cut out.
Oh, I cut out. Well, that's unfortunate.
But I think we heard what you were saying, which is that this is the number one Big Brother Canada winner. If I'm thinking that that's what you said. Uh-oh, you're cutting out.
No, I can hear him. I heard him say that. I mean, I don't know that I agree with that. I probably would need some time to think about it. I don't know that it was a great season. I have, what did you say on Twitter? Like, this was a great champion, a great season. There's a new standard. And I'm like, really? Like, apparently you're not talking about the entertainment value. It must just be about the strategic
gameplay. I set a new standard of gameplay.
All right. I guess. Sure. That's not why most of us are tuning in, Taryn, but okay. By the way, where are the people in the
nobody
chat?
Nobody watches Big Brother for the strategy.
There's no one in the chat. Where is everybody at?
There's plenty of people in the chat.
Sure, I have a ton of people in the chat.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently I'm in the wrong thing.
I think you're in the wrong thing because the chat is going like a mile a minute.
You're in the wrong universe where Dane isn't the best Big Brother Canada winner.
Yeah, I guess he is. Well, we can talk about it. Let's talk about it. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
I guess I would consider that to be true. I initially was like, I don't know. But I really do think that Dane, I think probably best winner, but not best season by any means, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think best winner for sure. I think we're far from the best season. I feel like Big Brother Canada has long, as fans, we've long struggled to find like the bottom of the list for Big Brother Canada seasons. And, you know, I know there was some people who enjoyed it and whatnot, but I have to think that, you know, this is going to place on the bottom for most people, at least for myself. But yeah, Dane, very worthy winner. He did an amazing job this season and very happy to see him rewarded.
By the way, Melissa, since the chat is going a million miles a minute, can you send me the link? Because I have opened it 3 times and I don't see anybody in the chat. And it's really annoying me because I'm the person who watches the chat for you guys.
So don't worry, I will send it.
Send it to my DM, please. Thank you. Okay. And by the way, yes, I can get on board with Dane being the best winner. Obviously not the best season, but a really fantastic winner. I think we have to talk about his decision to not take Kira to the final two. But in the end, it didn't really matter, did it?
No, it didn't matter. He was able to take Anthony and still win unanimously, becoming only the third player in the history of North American Big Brother to play a perfect game. Zero eviction votes cast against Dane and winning unanimously, joining the ranks of Dan Gieseling and Kevin Martin.
And Tamar.
And Tamar.
No, Tamar had an eviction vote cast against her.
Okay, not a perfect game. Oh my God. Unanimous.
Unanimous.
Yes, right. Okay. Don't get the stats wrong, guys. All right. So Dane is our winner here. He managed to, yeah, like I said, take Anthony and win unanimously over Anthony. We had been speaking over the course of the week about how Anthony would have a great shot to win. We've been talking for the last few weeks about how Anthony is potentially one of the greats as well. So Melissa, what went wrong here for Anthony? He got zero votes.
I think, honestly, I think that the speeches, the jury questions, I think all that went terribly for Anthony. And I think it went poorly for Dane, if I'm being honest, but I think it went terribly for Anthony. And I think that the ego that he brought to his answers was exactly the opposite of what the jurors were hoping to hear from him. And I thought that he would recognize that because typically he's really good at understanding what he needs to say in the moment to make someone bring them on his side or make them more endeared to him. And I just feel like he did not. It was all about like saying the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person, like telling people who weren't in the Pretty Boys about like how, you know, it's all about the Pretty Boys. And I was loyal, like, and the Pretty Boys all the way. And they're like, I thought we were working with you. What's going on? Like, I thought you were working with me. Then not only that, saying the wrong thing to the Pretty Boys by saying I was the leader of the Pretty Boys. I mean, even if you feel like you are the leader, you got to give credit to the other guys in the alliance and make them feel good about giving you the win rather than like, yeah, this guy controlled me all season. Like, I'm going to reward him for that. It was not good for Anthony. And it wasn't good for Dane either. I felt like all their responses were just so generic and terrible.
I don't feel like this meant Jack. I mean, the final two questions meant Jack. They were voting for Dane coming in. I mean, you can argue maybe Anthony didn't help himself and that's all well and good. I thought his answer to Corey was actually not bad at all. In fact, I thought it was good. He's like, look, I was loyal to the Pretty Boys, but I wanted to bring you in. I fought to keep you. But I just couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't get it done. Like, Corey doesn't know how much he went out of his way that week and put his own credibility on the line with his alliance, nearly disintegrating the Pretty Boys by trying to keep Corey in the house that week. And yet she doesn't reward him with the vote. Dane's up there saying, oh, well, you know, I never lied to my boys. To my boys, I never lied. Well, that one time I lied to Adam. But, of course, I had to lie to Adam that one time because he's the best. Whatever. Just suck it. Y'all are liars. I don't care. I can't stand hypocrisy. You guys know that. And I'm so through with this, Taryn, because I'm like, I think we've been fooled a few times now, and I'm just not going to be fooled anymore. I'm not going to be fooled that this kind of player, Anthony, can win Big Brother in 2019. It cannot be done. Not in Big Brother Canada. I don't even think in Big Brother US. You cannot have somebody who literally wins nary a competition all the way up until the end. Of course, that one veto during the double eviction, but I'm hardly counting that. Quits part two, and they control the entire season. The amount of agency and control that Anthony had over the season was astonishing. Jury didn't care. Jury didn't care. I'm not going to reward him for that.
This is where I have to ask you,
okay,
well, how last season
because we were
on board with Kayla, the comp beast, the one controlling the game.
It wasn't about her comp beast. It was about her control and her direction of the game. I thought Paris was reactive to what was going on. I thought Anthony was proactive about what he was doing in the game. Even though one's a comp winner, one's not. I saw two people, Kayla and Anthony, who were controlling the flow and direction of the Big Brother game. Taryn's whole thing about, oh, Paris is one of the three pillars of strategy. Why I never bought that. It was always Kayla.
We talked about it all season long.
Kayla
never
and Johnny, I'm not here to relitigate BB6.
And I'm not trying to compare Anthony to Paris. I'm trying to compare Dane to Kayla, because Kayla maneuvered her game through winning so many competitions along with Derek. And that's exactly what Dane did as well.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like Kayla, since you're trying to attack the position that I have, I want to make it clear. That's fine. I don't take it. I'm not offended if you are attacking. I'm just trying to get it across. But Kayla controlled what she wanted to do within the Big Brother game. It was with her with Derek's help on the side.
We're talking about Big Brother Canada.
I'm trying to compare it to this. Jane did my committee. I mean, like, if you freaking listen for a sec. I'm trying to get across the point that Dane is doing things by committee, and I still reject the fact that any part of this final two question had anything to do with what happened tonight. It's all window dressing.
I just think it's really funny that if someone were to tune in right now, they'd be like, oh, wrong podcast. This is finale for Big Brother 6, like Big Brother Canada 6. Like,
I
just think it's funny. Right.
Look, I can talk about what Brent is saying here, that that the jury questioning did not matter. That is something that I was paying a lot of attention to. Very clearly, when the jury was brought out, they were talking about they wanted to vote for the person who played the most well-rounded game, which was code for voting for Dane.
Yep.
So during the jury questioning, I was watching the jurors like a hawk, trying to see if they were listening to what was being said, if they were reacting to what was being said, and more importantly, if they were talking to each other about what was being said, because that's how you know the vote is changing. I was talking to Matt, like, I feel like my Survivor viewership is helping me out here, because I always watch them like a hawk to see if it's a real live tribal or if it's a fake live tribal. And I could tell that there was no discussion happening about what the answers to the questions were, or Dane's decision to take Anthony over Kira, which I thought might influence some of the jurors. They were surprised for sure, but again, they did not talk about it very much. In fact, the only discussion that was happening was between Adam and Kira, with Mark involved as well. And Kira is the one that seemed the most up in the air in terms of where their vote would fall throughout the night. So we can talk more about that. But I do believe that for 100%, all of those votes were locked Dane votes, and there was zero chance that that the questions, I think, had an influence on that. I mean, they basically, the questions did not change their minds, but I don't think they could have changed their minds. It was so fast. And it was much.
Was it as fast as that? Because it seemed fast on TV. Like, when was it, like, when you saw it in the studio, was it just like what was happening pretty much on TV?
Yeah,
basically. I mean, it was over very quickly, and yeah. I looked at Matt. I was like, "That was a little underwhelming." After last season, when they were yelling,
it was underwhelming for the audience, like people just watching at home too. I mean, the answers were terrible. I felt like going into it, I thought Dane and Anthony were going to give great final two speeches, great final two answers. I thought it was going to be like really fun, and it was not at all. All the answers were bad, or they were just, like, kind of off topic. I felt like some of them didn't even make sense, like, in the context. Like, they felt like they already had something planned to say, and then they would just, like, say it, and then someone would ask a question. For example, like, Sam asked a question, then they direct the whole speech to Adam or someone, and the camera's like, oh, I guess we're looking at Adam's reaction. Like, it didn't make any sense. And then when Adam asked Anthony the question about loyalty, Anthony gives the worst answer by, like, lecturing Adam about, like, you were too much with Sam. It's like, that's old news. Also, you literally just betrayed Adam, like, the last episode when you voted him out. It was your vote that got Adam out. And he didn't even address that. He just was lecturing Adam on Sam.
Yeah, that was terrible. I agree. That was 100% Anthony. Like, I somehow, trying to get it, Sam evicted from the house, made its way into the finale.
Crazy.
Like, it's just amazing.
He couldn't let it go. He couldn't
still
let it go.
Won't let it go.
You could tell that that there was little interest in looking to flip the vote. Not that there needs to be, but again, I think it speaks to a weakness in this particular formula that we've been talking about for years, because there were basically no questions to Anthony about his lack of competition wins, which was obviously a major factor in why they didn't vote for him to win. When I saw the beginning montage again, after having seen been at the finale, I watched Anthony say, I controlled the vote every week. It didn't matter who was HOH. I controlled it. where was that Anthony in the final two? I wanted to hear from Anthony about how he didn't need to win a single competition because he still controlled the outcome every single week. Unfortunately, I do think that that argument falls a little bit flat when you're sitting there in the end with Dane, who is probably the most impressive player in the house. So, you know, if you controlled everything, then why aren't you sitting there with somebody else? But at the same time, I would have liked to see something like that from Anthony in his questioning. Not that it probably would have mattered at that point.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't have mattered. It's frustrating, Matt, listening to people talk about, well, we're going to vote for the person who's the most well-rounded. That's just because, as Taryn says, that's just code. And I mean, like, Anthony doesn't need to be well-rounded. He's so amazing and running circles around you people. You don't even know who's controlling what. You don't even know that Anthony's controlling everything. Corey doesn't even know that her HOH is being usurped from her, and yet they still give him no credit. Now they can say, oh, Sam's goes up to the jury box and says, well, this wasn't as easy for me as you might think it was. Didn't look to me like it was really that hard to vote for Dane 7-0. And also, you can say what you want about Kira, but I think they were peer pressured into voting for Dane at the end. I think they realized quickly that it was a train that was going in Dane's direction and they didn't want to be the one sore loser. So I'm disappointed in Kira up till the very end where they didn't even give Anthony their vote on the way out the door.
That's the sense that we got as well, being in the studio. Kira looked very confused, tormented, they did not know what to do. They didn't, from the second, until they were about to go cast their vote, I was staring directly at Kira and I was like, I don't know if they know what they're about to do when they go up to the voting booth. You could tell when they got evicted, it's like, oh, this is probably a vote for Anthony now. They're very upset with Dane. And then they get up to go vote. And there's just so much that happened in between. And like Taryn said, the rest of the jurors didn't seem too concerned in what's going on with the questioning. It did seem like they pretty much had their minds made up. But when it came to Kira, Kira was looking around to try to talk to Adam.
What about
Kira was did you hear that answer? Did you hear what Anthony just said? This and that. And Adam's like, yeah. So it didn't seem like there was a whole lot moving besides, the gears shifting in Kira.
Right. I will just say this. Oh, well, go ahead, Taryn. Go ahead.
So when I said that, there was little conversation between the rest of the jurors, there was a lot of conversation between Kira and Adam. As soon as Kira got there, Kira was having a lengthy conversation with him. Then throughout, and then after, especially during the breaks, they were talking a lot. Mark was involved at one point. It looked like Mark was explaining things a lot. It looked like Adam was trying to talk. That looked like a serious vote-changing conversation, and Kira seemed a little frustrated during the conversation. My read on that was that they were trying to talk Kira into voting for Dane instead of Anthony. I could be wrong, of course, and we'll probably find out hopefully tomorrow. I will be asking Kira in my interview with them. But that's definitely the read that I got, was that there was discussion being had about who they should be voting for. And Adam and Mark were saying it's Dane.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just really quick, back to the conversation about comp wins. I think the difference here is that Dane wasn't just comp wins. I think that Dane had really great strategy, and I think that he was very influential in the game. Probably, I think, as much as Anthony, although Anthony's things that he did was maybe a little more impressive because they were things that you would seemingly think were impossible that Anthony would pull off. I think that at the same time, it's not strategy versus competition wins. And I think that if it was strategy versus comp beast, I would be like, what the heck is going on? Why would Dane win this? We need the strategy to win. But I think that they do have a point that Dane kind of was the whole package. He had everything. He had the social game, he had the strategy, and he had the comp wins. Whereas Anthony was really, really great with strategy. He didn't quite have some of the other things there.
But he doesn't need the other things. I guess that's frustrating to me. Look, I'm just saying this. But Anthony, the way he used Corey and the way he switched Kira from this to this to this, like a light switch, was just jaw-dropping. It was absolutely astonishing, Melissa. And I'm sorry, but that is so much more impressive to me than Dane winning some carnival competition that set up in the backyard.
I think that comp wins are impressive if it's in a situation where you need to win, your back's against the wall and you can pull it out, and that's important to me. But I think I value personally strategy and social game more, but I could see why they would, we've got Dane really high up in all three categories, and Anthony really high up in one category and, you know, okay in the other categories. And I think that that's where the difference comes in. I don't think it's that Dane is just mediocre in all three. I think Dane is great in all three. I think he's a totally deserving winner.
Yeah, and yes, we this was the whole thing with BB Can 6 as well, that just it is possible to have two very deserving winners in the final two. Unfortunately, only one can win. So when you have a situation like this, Anthony played a hell of a game. I'm so happy for him that he ended up with the second place money and not Kira, who probably didn't deserve it as much. So, you know, the two of the both of these guys got the money. They can't both win. Somebody has to win. So it's like, you know, the jury, I wish that Anthony got a vote or two to show him some respect for the impressive game that he played, that Brent is talking about, that we all saw, that we all recognized, and we'll give him tons of patting on the back when he gets, when he's free and can, and talk to us a little more, but only one person can win. So it's so tough.
You know what I think
Before we get too far from it, I want to quickly clarify, because I was saying that Adam and Mark potentially flipped Kira's votes. They were not actively trying to do that. They were not like, they were unconcerned about Kira's vote. Kira was talking to them, asking them questions. And so I do think that their answers helped influence Kira's vote, but they were not like, oh, we need to make sure Anthony doesn't get a single vote. They were just speaking to Kira because Kira was speaking to them. So sorry, go ahead, Melissa.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that maybe the difference I'm trying to portray here is the difference between this season versus Big Brother 20 with Casey and Tyler. And I think that the difference there is that Tyler had the strategy, he had the competitions, he had, you know, all that stuff. Then we were like, wow, this guy. And then you've got her with the comp wins only. And I think that that's where the difference is that I think Tyler was the deserving winner in that situation. In this situation, I don't see it as that sort of like crazy, like dichotomy of one person is a comp person and one person's a strategy person. And then the strategy person doesn't win. I think this is a situation where we're looking at someone who isn't just a comp person, even though he did win a lot of comps. I think that his strategy was just as good as his comp wins.
So we have a question. We have a question from the chat from Nita. It says, can the host please tell me what Dane's strategy was? Dane had a social game, but what was his strategy? Just win competitions and be nice to people and be well-liked? And they're asking it in a really nice way. So how would you address that question, Melissa or Taryn or Matt, whoever wants to take it?
I mean, his strategy, I would suggest listening to my Dane recap where
besides
I discussed
that,
his entire game.
There was
a ton to talk about. Dane's was actually the longest of the three. He was very involved with Anthony, making the decisions for most of the game, or at least the first half of the game, making decisions along with Anthony. There wasn't a single decision Anthony made without Dane involved. Anthony usually got his way in that relationship if they disagreed, but they were always together making those decisions, making those moves, and setting the house up in the way that they wanted to. It shouldn't be surprising to anyone that Dane is the person who had the most amount of allies, the most amount of backup plans within the Pretty Boys backing him up until the point where he did let them go, which we thought was a mistake when it looked like Dane was home.
Yep.
And then he is able to flip Anthony over, which turns out to be a mistake probably for Anthony to keep Dane in that spot.
So let's play that out. Can we play that out? So let's go back to Final Five. Remember that it was Anthony who in the end decided to flip Kira and then flip them again. So if Anthony goes with his original gut, because he told Dane to his face, like, man, I don't think I'm keeping you. And Dane was like, damn it, I'm going home. Like, that is effed. I can't believe I'm going home. There was a moment in time where Dane was going home. And then he goes to Anthony and gets him to flip his vote. Anthony looks at the situation, decides this is probably best for me. I agreed on this podcast that was probably the best decision for Anthony at the time. But let's say he doesn't do that. He goes ahead and evicts Dane in that spot, keeps Adam in the game. I have to believe, based on that final four competition, if Mark's in there instead of Dane, that Adam wins HOH and Adam's going to go to the final three. He's at least going to guarantee a spot. Now, as far as the veto, I can't really tell, but I still think that Anthony probably comes up short because it doesn't seem to me that there was going to be. Kira was good at the final three HOH part three competition, but they were not great. They choked, exactly. And so I think either Adam or Dane was going to be in the final two no matter what. And because of that, I don't think there was a path for Anthony to win.
It's a dark timeline, because if we had kept, if Dane had gone that week, I really think we could have been in a Mark and Kira final two situation if things played out in any certain way.
Oh my God,
I really think,
please no.
Because if Mark had won the final four HOH, which he very easily could have, I know his day's song wasn't like the most effective way to remember things, but at the end of the day, he did have that all memorized. And if he won that HOH, if Adam still goes home in that spot, and then we get here and it's Mark versus Kira here, Kira chokes and Mark goes to is the person voting to evict at the final three. He's evicting Anthony and taking Kira, like he's been saying for weeks now that he was going to do. And that's not a final three I think any of us would have been too happy with.
Well, yeah. See, I think the most important part of what happened at the final five is that that's where Anthony lost the jury, because Mark was sent home and he was not an advocate for Anthony.
He was not an advocate for
Dane. Exactly. And he needed to be an advocate for Anthony, but instead he was an advocate for Dane. And that was very, very bad for Anthony. It also, I think, led to the feeling of betrayal that Corey felt, because she mentioned that she expected Anthony to burn the house down to avenge her. And instead, Anthony is sending her ally Mark out the door instead of Dane. That made her feel very betrayed. And I think that's what led to the change that we saw in the jury videos, from Anthony was on my team, Anthony's my guy, to I feel betrayed by Anthony. So I think that he lost Corey's vote. He, if he ever had Mark's, he lost Mark's vote, and Mark was sent to the jury and was not an advocate for him. So what he needed to have happen there is either get in Mark's head so that he goes to the jury as an advocate for him, or send Dane home as a potential advocate for Anthony. If you are playing Anthony's game and you are manipulative and you are using that kind of strategy, part of that needs to be manipulating the jury as well. And I've been on record saying that is a very difficult thing to do, and I don't fault people too much for it. However, if you want to play this game and you want to win the game, that is part of it, and you need to do better at it. And Dane did better at it. And that's why Dane won the game here.
He really did.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show.
Can we talk about something positive? Because like I ranted for the first 10 minutes of the podcast. Let's live in the moment that I think everybody wants to live in, which is when Dane wins part three and casts his vote to evict. He votes to evict Kira, and amazing. The face crack of the century, honey. Matt, tell me what it was like in the studio.
I don't think a single person in that studio, I mean, production, I don't know, Arissa seemed shocked. Kira got out of the chair and stormed off screaming, "You didn't have to lie! You didn't have..." Like, they were pissed. They were very, very pissed. And I didn't see that coming. You know, I was saying this earlier, we don't get feeds for these last few days, so we don't know what was going on. We can assume that Dane was promising Kira, and Kira was promising Dane, like, we can't beat Anthony, whatever. Everybody's promising each other, I'll take you if I win, whatever. Kira must have sincerely thought for some reason that Dane was taking them, which, I mean, makes sense, because taking Kira to the final two seems like the obvious move. So I think they were just completely blindsided. It was a wild reaction, which I don't think I even saw it on the TV. I mean, we saw it in person, but I want to see it on the TV. That was crazy.
Yes, the crowd erupted. I think everybody immediately went off of their feet or onto their feet.
Off their feet.
They were jumping.
Yes.
because it was not only a very exciting moment, but also unexpected. And I don't know how much of it made air, but there was a lot of swearing involved.
Not that much.
There was a lot of it. Yeah.
Yes.
There were just a couple comments that were made, or at least that made air.
It was so great watching Kira, because you think they're, you know, they're like, okay, it's going to be tough in the finale to beat Dane, but I think I have a chance. Because remember, Kira's delusional enough to think that they actually have a chance to beat Dane in the final two, and they're already counting their money, their $20,000, and Dane just whoop, takes it right out of their hand and gives it to Dougie. That was worth the whole finale for me. I was living in, and Dane, look, to be clear, because you guys really, I feel like, you know, me trying to explain my position about last season became very, I'm very anti-Paris and very pro-Kayla. It was just, I had preferred one winner over the other, and it maybe became something that it was. And I'm not anti-Dane here. He is a fabulous winner of the show. I'd say he was a really fantastic person to win Big Brother. For me personally, I was just more impressed by Anthony and his amazing ability. True, he was not only good at one particular thing, but that one particular thing just it made me light up in terms of like watching Big Brother, watching him work from the second week of the show where he just decided, you know what? Oh, did my camera go out? I don't see
you there.
Oh, okay, quiet. Sorry. From the second week of the show where Anthony, like Mackie was dumb enough. And Mackie, and this finale was hilarious too with that loser sign. But honey, you're the loser because you're the one who said to Anthony, if I win HOH, meaning Mackie wins HOH, I'm probably going to put you on the block, Anthony. And Anthony was like, I ain't having that. And he just literally flipped the vote. Kira was going home at that point, and Anthony flipped the vote. And from that point on, he had total control over everything. Obviously, the week that the twist came in, the exception, but I was flabbergasted by Anthony. And Dane was more to be expected. Like, I expected Dane to win competitions. I think it's all about expectations too, because remember coming into the season, with the exception of Ligori, the rest of us were very low on Anthony. I think we knew what we were getting with Dane, but we had no idea what we were getting with Anthony. I was bamboozled by him.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, Dane winning competitions, he does also end the season just barely beating out Adam's percentage here with 7 out of 14 competitions won. That is, in fact, the best record in Big Brother Canada history, and I believe the second best overall record in Big Brother North American history. That was part of it. That's something that we need to address, because I do think that it is somewhat undeniable that Anthony was aided in his manipulation by the power given to him through the various HOHs won by Adam and Dane. At the same time, Adam and Dane and their strategy and their social games were benefited by the manipulation that Anthony was able to put into the house. They really did act and work together well as a team, and they all contributed different parts to the game. Ultimately, it did seem to me like Dane was one of the more self-interested players, and again, the best at the jury management, although... who knows what would have happened with Adam if he had been sitting in the final two chair next to Dane, but that might have been interesting. But Dane took him out. What are you gonna do?
I was also gonna make note of the fact that Clam Pearls too on Twitter sent me this. I know it's probably pretty obvious that Dane had a lot of diary rooms this season. Of course, Big Brother is a little different than Survivor. They don't know how the story is going to end, but they know what people are thinking. Would you believe that even though Dane was in the top three as far as diary room confessional counts, that two women were actually in the top three along with him? No pretty boys, not Adam, not Mark, not Anthony. It was actually
Adam was,
as far as average goes, Chelsea and Sam had the highest average when you look at how much time they spent in the house in comparison to how many diary rooms they actually had. Chelsea had over 5 diary rooms per week, which is pretty amazing. And then Sam and Dane were over 4. Everyone else was under 4 as far as an average goes. So it may be actual count. Obviously, Adam spent more weeks in the house than somebody like Chelsea. That's certainly true. He's going to have more diary rooms total. But average wise, Chelsea was definitely in front.
Yeah, the final 4 had the most amount of diary room counts total.
Yeah, count wise,
and
yeah.
And then Sam was number 5. That's not super surprising there. But yeah, percentage wise, Chelsea took,
by the way, how gorgeous did she look? Can we just talk a little bit like a shallow stuff for a second? Sam looked flipping gorgeous. Esty looked amazing. But we must
everyone
talk.
Looked so good.
Eddie, yeah. Like the jury was boring, and then Eddie comes in there like with that outfit on. Oh, I was living for that. That was great. Thank you, Anthony. And to Adam's face, he still said that. I couldn't
believe he said that. Oh my God. He's so mean. I think Adam's cute. But I loved Damien's suit. Damien looked really good with like
he really the did.
Pattern. Yeah, they all looked so great. And everyone seemed like they were like coordinated. I don't know how they do it, but
obviously, they gave them those tuxes, right, Taryn? Because I think
the final 3 get outfits, but yeah. I think everyone else prepares their own.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe the jurors get some. I don't know.
They look damn good to me. I thought everybody cleaned up great, and Sam was just so, she was a vision. She was really great. I was living for her.
I love Sam. She just is so great. She's so nice, and she's so... I'm a huge Sam fan. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, she was super excited when the jury walked in one by one. Adam, came in last of those of those people, and everyone gave a standing ovation to Adam, and she was so excited about it. She was just like, "Oh my god!
Oh my gosh! I picked the hero of the season. He's with me."
Adam didn't get an audience when he got evicted.
That's
right?
True.
So this is the first time like an audience got to give him some sort of applause.
He deserved that,
and exactly. He deserves it. He's so great. Everybody fell in love with that. Maybe not everyone, but most people fell in love with Adam throughout this season. Everyone started off like, you know, cracking jokes at his expense and hating him and being annoyed with him and, you know, thinking that he was crazy for thinking that this Brigade 2.0 was going to start. And look at him now. Everyone ended up falling in love with him. I thought he was a jerk, like, for the first few episodes. I was like, this guy, he's all about guys. He doesn't care about women. He's, you know, he's just throwing it up. He's this sucky guy. And now I love him. I think he has a really good heart and I'm a huge fan.
I mean, just to put a little, not that I, you know, am trying to be consternatious for nothing, but I do believe that Adam was like, well, you know, I want an alliance and it needs to be four guys. I just like really like, and then like, you know, if you look back at what he said, you know, he was like, well, I thought Eddie might be a potential one, but then he sort of trails off and never really explained why Eddie wouldn't be good with him. So look, and I get it. Look, I live in the real world. I get it. Okay. But it wasn't in 2019. I didn't need to see this. I really didn't need
to see. Well, I'm not saying we needed it, but I like Adam as a person and I do think he has a good heart.
And also at the same time, like, if you are Adam's archetype, this is the way to do it. That historically, this has clearly now worked two times. And so I can't really fault him for going in and wanting to have that game plan. Something that I thought was interesting in terms of Adam's reception was the fact that at the beginning of the game, when Eddie called Adam ugly, everyone was like, oh, Eddie, what a great one. Oh my God, Eddie, you're the best. When Eddie calls Adam ugly in the finale, I saw a bunch of people responding like, Eddie, no.
Not cute, Eddie. Not cute.
Yeah. No, I think like, that's wow. true. It's first of all, that was his chance to like redeem that comment, like to make it up to Adam or whatever when Adam sees that comment later, or make people be like, oh, okay, it was all just in fun and games at the time. But instead he just like doubles down on it. I think that the better response would have been like, no, I've seen Adam play like that, you know, water under the bridge, like
and
whatever.
He knows. Like Melissa, he knows. He knows that Adam's popular because he's on the outside. Why
right.
would he
it's
do
not
that?
Like he's in the jury and he has no idea. Like Adam is the breakout star of this season, I think. And I, you know, I mean, if anyone's going to be asked back, it's going to be Adam. So yeah. Like, I think that was a bad response.
Yeah.
And
y'all are living in a never world if you think that Damien's going to be asked back. Look, I love Damien.
Oh,
he's
no,
great.
No
he's
way.
A wonderful person. He was boring to watch. He was wallpaper.
Damien should not come back for an all-star
no,
season.
No, thank you. I don't need
Damien
to see that again.
Is not a good player. He's a nice guy, but
nice guy.
He's not a good player.
Lovely,
at all.
Not a good player. Yeah.
I will say, Damien was, I don't know if this made the show, but, right after the, you know, the finale stuff came out, and they were able to run to their families, Damien ran to his girlfriend and it was the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
That's so cute.
Yes. I don't
Did
know.
Did we lose Matt? Where is he?
We're trying to figure it out.
All right.
We're gonna continue to try to figure it out here. But let's talk about the final three HOH competition, which started in part one, which I immediately was like, oh my God, Trevor Boris, I believe inferred that like, hey, you think it's a joke that they're talking about the Cheerios being a thing.
That was so great.
Just wait and see. If you did not watch the live feed updates, if you were not on top of everything quite as much as maybe you might have otherwise been, they were stacking Cheerios as a competition just within themselves, to see how many Cheerios they could stack. And then part one of the final three HOH is basically stacking large versions of Cheerios on water, which was crazy.
That was a tough competition.
This was a crazy competition.
That was tough to watch. Like when they get to like 22, 23, 24, and then it falls, you're like, damn. Like,
and you're thinking to yourself, like, how can you make the water any less Well, less rocky.
This is why I think they figured out as they went along. Like, if you're like zooming it up, like one through 10, the water's not going to dissipate enough by the time you get up to the 20s. So
right.
I feel like you really have to go slow for the most
part.
Time. There's a learning curve to the competition. That's how he finally won.
It was a great competition. It was really fun to watch. Very fun.
It's so good. Visually, it looks so great.
Yeah, it was cool and creepy and fun and gross, but not too gross. And it was great.
And I loved like the slow motion of like trying to slowly make it so that it doesn't turn over. And, it was great. And it really seemed like it was anybody's competition at various points.
Kira
like,
could have won
totally.
That.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It seems like everyone was on an equal playing field for that one, basically. I mean, Anthony probably had a little bit tougher time since he's a bigger guy. But at the same time, you didn't felt like anyone was like going to take it away. Like there, you know, you felt like that everyone had a chance. And I think that's cool for a final competition.
Yeah. And it seemed to me like it was basically luck because in terms of like the water and how much it would move, because Dane was doing nothing and his turned over. And like, it just seemed like you just had to get lucky and hope that like, it just wasn't wobbling at the wrong time. But it was very clear that Dane was able to do his a lot faster. So he had a lot more attempts to get close to it, and hope that his didn't fall. And that's why he ended up taking this one home. And which is also a very interesting scenario for this part one of the HOH, which is that I was advocating for Dane to throw this part. Because if he throws it to Anthony and then Anthony wins part one, Dane can beat Kira at part two, or at least we'll have a much better shot at beating Kira at part two. And then, then he would at part three. And so it was almost like if Anthony wins this, that's even better for Dane. Right, Matt? You, it seems like you're with us here.
Are you hearing me? Am I back?
Yes, you're good.
Talk while you're good, honey.
Sorry, guys. This bathroom connection is not so great for me. What did you just say? Sounds great.
Yes. So I'll go. I just wanted to make sure you knew you were on. So Brent,
I'm good.
Yeah, we were talking about the final HOH competitions and how visually appealing part one was.
How amazing are they?
They're really great. Trevor really outdoes himself. We were talking about the fact that Anthony might or Dane might wanted to throw part one, but I knew that was never really in the land of reality. I knew he was probably going to go for the win. And then for those of you who are here's the thing. I wanted to say this to you really quick. Not to you specifically, but to the people. People are coming after Anthony for throwing or for quitting part two. Honey, he didn't know the answers. This wasn't like Tim in BB Can 4 where all he had to do was count to 7 and he probably could have figured it out. Anthony didn't know the freaking answers and over an hour had already passed and Kira had done it in 15 minutes.
Yeah, but it does leave a bad taste in my mouth.
I guess, but I'm not going to come for him. He didn't know. I mean, I didn't even need to watch the tape for this competition. I said on Twitter, here, once I looked at the competition, Kira just won part two. Anthony doesn't know this shit, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to like over an hour and you're on the same second stack of answers at that point, I can't fault you for quitting, but I can fault you for going the entire season saying, I don't need to study. That's overrated. Like,
true.
You know what? I mean, and again, that's where Dane, you know, when you're weighing Dane versus Anthony, that's another factor that goes into Dane's, you know, in Dane's favor.
What did you say to me a couple days ago?
I've said a lot of things.
You said to me that we were talking about Dane and Anthony and their put because we knew by this point that Adam had been evicted. And we're like, the one thing that I need to figure out is can Anthony win? And you're like, because he hasn't won any competitions, he's played a great Big Brother game. But he has not
a Big Brother,
Big Brother Canada game. And
if you haven't seen Kevin Martin play, if you haven't seen him, you know, beast out at the end with these competitions that are all about the days, and sometimes they change a little bit. I don't remember what the Paris and Kayla one was last year, but this one was literally like another final three comp that was just more questions about days and who got evicted on what, blah blah blah. Like the 100th competition they've had like that this season. So you know, I'm not like you know trying to set Taryn off on a competition rant or anything. But it's clear that there's a formula here and this is planning, you know, this is what they're going to be following for the foreseeable future. So if you're going to play Big Brother Canada in the future, pay attention to the freaking days. You have nothing else to do but study.
Yeah, yes. I know Amon is in the chat, Taryn. He's coming after Anthony saying that, so he's a quitter for not studying then, which is probably true. But I think it's amazing that he didn't need to study.
I think he just got like halfway through the season and...
Here's the thing about Anthony, right? Because I don't think he needed to win the competitions, but it was his lack of even caring about the studying, about even getting ready for the competitions. I think that if Anthony actually did the work and studied and prepared himself and then was able to make a good showing, maybe win part two of that final three HOH, maybe win one of the other competitions, even though he didn't have to show like, hey, you guys thought that I didn't know these questions, but I was choosing to not win all the way along. And now I'm choosing to win at the end because I can, to show you that I can, to show you that I just didn't need to before. And now I'm going to do it. But he didn't. He embarrassed himself in the final four veto. He embarrassed himself in part two of the final three HOH. It's hard to give the win to somebody when you know that they're that bad at a very, very important part of this game. And competitions do matter a lot more in Big Brother Canada than they even do in Big Brother US.
Yeah, Stacked in the chat is asking at Brent, so, but would Dr. Will have studied? See, I don't think Dr. Will would have studied. I think he'd been like Anthony and like, maybe I kind of know the days, maybe I don't. We'll see what happens in the final thing, but I don't really need it. But what we're saying is, Stacked, that, and I agree with Matt on this, that Anthony played a fantastic Big Brother game, but he did not play a good Big Brother Canada game. I just think that Big Brother Canada is its own entity, as they want, which is cool, but you have to win competitions in the jury, otherwise the jury's not going to respect you. I mean, I'm listening to the jury talk about Dane, and the first thing out of their mouth says comps. It's just like the level of respect that a game like Anthony's gets, where he literally doesn't win anything of substance for the entire season, but manipulates everything behind the scenes, that game, to my mind, it's just not going to be rewarded anymore. And I sound a little forlorn about that. I miss stuff like that. I want a winner like that who literally stabs people left and right behind the scenes and then gets rewarded for it in the end. And they're just not going to do it, Taryn.
I think the difference is the way it's like brought to people. I feel like there's a difference between Anthony's game and, like, for example, Dr. Will or Derek or you know, Dan or somebody like that, where it's like the way it's presented to the jury throughout is that this is like a nice guy and he had to do these things, but he's like kind of cheeky about it and kind of whatever. Like Will is like got that humor, and I feel like Derek has got that sweetness and sensitivity. Like anytime people would be leaving to go to the jury house, he'd like sit them down and have long conversations with them and try and bond with them. And I feel like Anthony is missing that little part where it's like his speech in the end is just, nobody was buying it. I mean, I know you guys are saying they're already locked in, but even so, no one was buying that speech where it was like, you know, you got to be a shark and da 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 da. It's like, you need to, these people are emotional, clearly, and you need to appeal to those emotions. And I feel like that's where we've been kind of missing out with Tyler and with Anthony and with Kayla or whoever. We're missing that emotional aspect. The fact that like these people are angry, they're upset, whatever. Like you need to appeal to that and present a reason why they shouldn't be mad at you, even though it's like crazy to have to do that. And like Paul, even like he couldn't do that either. So we have all these people who don't know how to relate to the emotions that the jury is holding. And I feel like that's where we've got a problem.
Oh, go ahead.
I also think it's important to point out that the jury saw Dane as somebody that was sneaky, that stabbed people in the back behind the closed doors, you know, that was playing a very cutthroat and strategic game. They just thought he also was very good at competitions. I think they saw Dane and Anthony as similarly talented in the manipulation department, as similarly talented in the strategic department, where Dane was probably even better at the social department and certainly better in the competitions. I think it's also important to look at, when you're looking at like, can somebody like Will win again? Look at who Will sat next to.
Exactly.
Somebody that was more hated than him, that was very hated in the jury. If he sat next to Monica, he probably loses. Think about who Anthony sat next to. Dane, if Anthony was sitting next to Kira, Anthony wins this game. And we're not talking about how Anthony can't win this game or how that kind of player can't win this game, because he would have just won it. And he came very close to having that happen, because Kira was only two questions behind in the competition with Dane in part three, where ultimately they choked. But if they hadn't choked and they had won that competition, Kira
likely takes Anthony. That's the sense that I got in at the taping. I don't know if that came across in the episode as well, but it did seem like Kira had been planning to take Anthony to the end. I'll ask them that question tomorrow. But if Kira wins that competition and takes Anthony, then Anthony wins this game. And so I don't think that we should be making these kinds of statements like Anthony, this kind of player can't win the game, because I think he came very close.
Yeah, it came very close, but he just didn't have the right pieces on the board. Kira was not as prepared as Dane for that. For that part three, Dane knew those answers cold. Kira didn't. And I was like, even a little bummed, because I thought, well, maybe, you know, Dane hasn't watched tons of feeds. Maybe he doesn't know, like, you know, because they ask weird questions in part three, like how many male jurors have won the veto, or, you know, weird stuff like that, that you don't even like, but you don't even contextualize your knowledge in those kinds of, categories. And yet Dane, no problem whatsoever. Knew his shit. Front, back, and sideways. And my favorite moment of the episode, besides Kira getting evicted, was Kira accidentally picking the wrong wall and then going, no, I mean, but hey,
I'm
stop.
Glad that made the episode. Seemed a little messy.
I knew
a lot of swearing was going on.
Well, we didn't see that, but
so great.
I would like to know if Anthony, if he had won the final HOH, would he have taken Dane or Kira?
Never within that competition, so it's not something even had to think of.
But I want to know, because I think that that would make a difference in my view of his game. Like, if he had said, I absolutely would have taken Kira, that would have been impossible to beat Dane, I would really respect that, and I'd be like, okay, he understands what's going on here. But I don't think he would. I think he would have taken Dane, and that's unfortunate, because I would have respected it a lot more had he said, I would have cut Dane, because there's no way I could have beat him.
Yeah, my guess is that he was going to take Dane based on the diary room sessions that he was giving. At the same time, though, I don't believe he will ever in a million years, regardless of what he actually would have done, admit that he would have taken Kira if that was an option.
But
I do think he would have taken Dane.
Yeah,
we'll ask him. You'll ask him tomorrow. I feel like, I don't want to like completely discount the fact that he might admit to that. Well, because like Mark was running around saying, I would have taken Kira 100%. The pretty
Mark
boys.
Mark and Anthony are very different people.
No, so I was going to say, Anthony has obviously been preaching the loyalty the entire season. So if he tries to say, no, I would have taken Kira, I don't think any of us would be able to believe him on that. So I guess TBD. We'll have to see what he says.
Yes. So then we see Dane. I thought that final three, part three was, I thought the way that it was set up was really cool with the hallway and the tunnels and the way that it lit up with the letter of the answer that they were giving. It was really great. And you really, you saw completely Kira go from getting the answers right to
polite applause,
supposedly, you know, choosing the wrong button, and then completely breaking down from that point, just getting the next question wrong, even though they should have known it. And then they were freaking out about the next question. They were like, no, I didn't touch the button. I didn't touch the button. What was it? What was it? It was people or amount of times. And it didn't even matter at that point.
I'm curious, because like they were wanting Arissa to reread the question. Did Arissa reread the question for Kira, or was it like a one-time thing only?
Briefly, got a couple extra words in.
So basically Kira was trying to figure it out. They asked Arissa to say, is it A2, B3? Was that what it was? And then they had already locked in their answer at that point, or at least it seemed like they had. And they said, no, I didn't lock in my answer. That's not what happened. And then they were given the opportunity to put in the whatever answer they wanted to at that point. But it didn't matter regardless of the outcome, because Dane had gotten that question right anyway.
Right.
And he had already won the competition.
See, that stuff we don't see,
And poor Dane was literally like standing there waiting to celebrate because he knew he had it. And he had to wait like minutes while they figured this out. And then finally Arissa was like, and Dane got it correct, and that means he's the winner. He's like, yes!
Yes!
Dane celebrating is a lot of fun. In that competition, when he, eventually ended up winning, just watching him like jump up and down, like you can feel the excitement. You know what it means to him. And that's just something really cool to see as a Big Brother fan, seeing another Big Brother fan take the win. It's cool to see that happen.
Very cool to see that happen.
Yes. There were emotional moments throughout the whole thing where, you know, Dane, he really, really, you could tell that he loved this show and he loved this game and he really mm-hmm. cared. And, you know, just seeing the emotion that he had taking Anthony to the end, he really wanted to make that happen and making this decision to cut Kira and bring Anthony and made a speech that I thought was a little dangerous, saying that, you know, I'm choosing loyalty over the money. And I felt like, okay, if there's any chance that Anthony has to flip this jury, it comes from Kira going to Adam and being like, yeah, Dane just said he's choosing loyalty over money, which is the exact opposite of what happened with Dane and Adam, which I have to imagine stings a bit.
It has to, Taryn. I mean, like, Dane was so inconsistent. I'm sorry, I have to call him out on his bullshit, because again, he was like, well, I never lied except for Adam that one time, and I'm choosing loyalty, but I wasn't loyal to the pretty boys except when I'm saying I was, and the pretty boys till the end, but I could have taken one to the final three and I chose not to. Like, but shut up, man. Like, I at least own your bullshit.
Well, I do think it is that he's hiding the fact that all along he was more loyal to Anthony and he was playing Adam the whole time. And again, I think this is one of those situations where, you know, like a Derek and a Cody, where Derek is able to say, well, of course, I was always loyal to Cody. And I'm sure Dane will always say that he was always loyal to Anthony. But I right. think that Dane also had a good idea that he was going to beat Anthony. And if that wasn't the case, I am reasonably certain that he wouldn't have been as loyal, considering some of the hints that were dropped to the cameras throughout the season about, like, maybe I should take Mark. Maybe I should take somebody that's not Anthony. But ultimately, he had the right read on the jury, and he was able to take Anthony and still win unanimously, which in my books is a far more impressive win than taking Kira and winning unanimously or whatever, because he was able to beat such a great player. I think Anthony himself, I would say, is one of the best players to play Big Brother Canada, despite this jury outcome.
He got to have his cake and eat it, too. It was really, really cool watching him getting to have his cake, because, like, we always want to live in the world where, you know, the best player, like, you know, where Tom takes Ian to the end of Survivor Palau, but we know it's not going to happen. Like, we rarely get this when you get the two people at the end. And obviously, a lot of you were rooting for Adam. I personally was rooting for Anthony. To see Anthony get taken to the end and Kira get nothing, not $1 besides their stipend. Oh, that was rich.
Dane has not been someone to take an easy path in this game at any point. Like we've been pointing out along the way, he got rid of Kiki, he got rid of Esty, he got rid of Damien, he got rid of all these pieces that could have been essential in him getting to the end if the Pretty Boys decided to turn on him. If the Pretty Boys take him out of the final five, then obviously it's looked upon a little differently, the fact that he got rid of all of these pieces that could have been numbers for him and easier beats as he got down to the end. But, you know, so that's what I'm just trying to say. He hasn't taken the easy path all along. So him taking the harder person to beat in the final.
I've been saying
that as well. Yeah, like it does seem like he should have gone with some of these different options. But the good thing about Dane's game is that he had his hands in so many, like he was covered with all of his bases. Like every person in the house he felt good with, except for the one exception being Corey. And he took that shot as soon as Adam helped him out. He was able to take Corey right off the board, and everybody else he was good with made it to the end and obviously chose the harder path at the end, taking Anthony instead of Kira to final two. But it's been working for him all the way to this point. So the fact that it, you know, ended up working for him in the end, I'm not surprised.
I think something to think about is that in taking the harder path, I think that it looked a lot more impressive to a jury. I think that's one of the reasons why he won unanimously. I mean, Paul was a player in Big Brother 19 that always took the easiest path possible. And the jury, some of them, didn't respect that as much. They were kind of angry at him. And I do think that Dane walked a thin line where he was betraying allies along the way, and he was hoping to also get their votes. And in some ways, by taking the harder road, I do think that won him more respect from the jury, and that's why he was able to win in the way that he did. I think another key element here for Dane is that, and something that I think is very funny in many different ways, is that the key part of his whole game in the first half, the thing that prevented us from like ranking him even higher in the Stockwatch often, was that he was obsessed with taking Sam out of the game. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, when he finally sends Sam home, into the jury. He really didn't want Sam to make the jury. He was so determined to not let that happen. But Sam did make the jury, and Sam goes to the jury as his biggest advocate and
flips Corey.
Gets Corey on board to vote for him. Sam was such a huge get for Dane, and that was entirely the work of Dane. It's one of the key parts of the game recap that I did with him, where he actively campaigned to get her vote in the jury. He did jury management, and it worked like a charm. He had her saying that she loved him to Adam on the week that he was getting her evicted, and she knew it. That is good jury management, and that comes from not only having an innate sense of social ability, but also knowing the game and knowing he needs to do jury management a long time ahead of the final speeches. And I think that's another part where Anthony, he really overestimated his ability to talk the jurors into voting for him, not really to his own fault, apart from just not knowing, because everybody was telling him all season long, you're going to be impossible to beat in the final two, man. You're such a great talker.
Yeah,
you'll be able to talk the jury into
Adam
voting
for, jury,
for you.
Says, oh, he's the best player ever. He's amazing. Anthony's amazing. Okay.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like, everyone was telling him all season long that he would be able to talk the jury into voting for him. And I think that he expected there to be an opportunity to do that. But there was definitely not an opportunity to do
that.
There
was definitely not.
I will say that I, in the audience, got the sense that the jury was not loving what Dane was giving them. Mark was liking what Anthony was giving him. Mark was really nodding along to what a lot of Anthony was saying. And Adam was kind of like, what are you saying, Dane? What is this? And that's why I was looking for them to start talking amongst themselves, although they ultimately didn't. I did get the sense that if this was a jury format where they had more time, that there was a possibility that Anthony could have gone more into detail about what he was doing. He could have been more like the Anthony that we saw at the start of the episode, where he said it didn't matter that I won competitions. And I do think there was a small chance that if they had more time, that Anthony could have swung some votes his way. Take that for what it's worth.
Maybe. I feel like that Anthony kind of approached the final two questioning in the same way that he approached the people in the house, where he was like, and then he starts in on his stuff. Like, it wasn't playing well to me.
He told Corey, you're the star of the show. I'm like, you've told everyone that. And they're all sitting here listening to you right now.
I will say that too. By the way, can I come for her? I want to come for her for a second. Corey, I'm over you too. Like, I know you didn't give Anthony your vote, and that's fine. That's all well and good. You were flipped by Sam, fine. But do not come for everybody else, and do not come for Anthony, because you got played. She's like, well, I'm on the jury, and try to finesse me now, Anthony. Of course, it played well in the audience. All well and good.
Guess what my vote means based on what I'm cryptically saying to you.
I'm sorry, but honey, you're the one who got played by him. You had your HOH, and he literally controlled you from the moment you were crowned. Don't be mad at him because you made a boneheaded move.
Yeah, I liked her performance in it. I liked it. Yes, I liked it. I liked her. Like, I liked her being strong and just saying, whatever. Some of the stuff she said was whatever. But I liked it. I mean, I was entertained by it.
Well,
and
What about Adam?
I think Corey, that's the worst look to have on the jury, is that you were completely snowed in the house, and now, weeks removed, you're acting like you've done some great thing by breaking out of the manipulation that was put upon you, and now you're like, oh, finesse me now. Like, okay, he hasn't spoken to you in like a month. I guess like you're proud of this, but like,
I don't know. I felt like it
the
was
fact
kind
that
of
you
jokey.
Got manipulated. You know,
I
like,
don't know. It means
like,
look,
you know what? You got me. You got me. And kudos to that. Even if she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to give him her vote, but like, she should be, she's the last person that should be like sassy about it, right?
Like, I thought it was
Sam, maybe Kira, who at the very least kind of saw what Anthony was doing along the way, but Corey was completely in the dark until other people filled her in. Go ahead.
I thought she was being funny. Like, if it was all intended to be like super cutting and horrible or whatever, then I agree. I don't like that. But I thought she was doing it to be funny, and I thought that it was entertaining and funny. And
I thought it was until she didn't vote for him.
Right. Then she didn't vote for him, and I was a little like, okay, that's not great. But I did like the initial, when she first came out and did the whole like, well, finesse me. I figured I thought she'd vote for him. So I did think that it was being funny and like entertaining and kind of showing that, like, yeah, I got played. Like, I know it now. And I think that that.
Okay. Okay.
That's all what right. I
we've been that to death. Let's talk about Adam really quick, because Adam, to me, also deserves a little bit of blame here, because Melissa, I'm sorry, he was way too loyal to the Pretty Boys for his own good. And he can say, well, we're Pretty Boys to life. We're brothers. Honey, they evicted your ass at the final four. They were not Pretty Boys for life. What are you talking about? I know everyone's like, I love Adam. He was the breakout star of the season. Great. All well and good. Maybe he'll come back. I'm sure he's a great flipping guy. In fact, the person that I was rooting for most at the end. However, it's still like you're still loyal to this stupid idea of yours where you needed just for a second. Could you think self-interested just for a second? The fact that you said you would have taken Dane and Anthony to the final three when they're actively plotting your demise tells me that you're not as good a player as I thought you were.
Well, what is he supposed to do? They're both, yeah. They're both in the finale. Is he supposed to be like, I hate you both? I mean, like,
I want him to own the fact that he played too loyal for the boys. Like, he had chances. Well, go ahead.
But what were his chances, Brent? I think he got to final five in a great spot.
About his intention, not about what he could have done. It's his intention. It didn't matter the fact that he had no control. Like, he ended up voting for Dane to stay in at the final five. Obviously, Anthony had flipped by that point, as had Kira. So it really doesn't matter what Adam does. But he really needed to try to get Dane out of the game. When Dane's coming for Adam, Adam is completely oblivious to it. It just that still stinks that he's not recognizing that his loyalty to the Pretty Boys was his own undoing.
I think Adam will eventually be like, yeah, you know, like, I was a little too loyal. I thought that they were loyal to me, blah, blah, but they were only loyal to each other, blah, blah, blah. But I think in this situation, these two are in the final two. And the only way that I think Adam and Mark are going to feel happy about it is if they take it as like a group win. Like, They said all along they'd be happy if any of the Pretty Boys won the game. Now you have two Pretty Boys in the finale.
Yeah, I think that's annoying me. That's it. You know what? You nailed it on the head. That's what's annoying me, Melissa, because Rob always talks about this, how people are like, well, I'm the winner now. And I kind of feel like that Mark and Adam both are like, well, we're the winners. Because we got them there, the four of us. Drives me crazy. Right.
It's like somebody who's in a showmance with someone and their showmance wins, even though they were evicted long ago. And they're like, we did it, baby. And it's like, well, no, you didn't. But okay. Like, you're part of it, I guess. But yeah.
Well, I mean, I think he's proud that the Pretty Boys succeeded in the way that they did. But I think that he voted for Dane because he didn't see Dane coming, because he trusted Dane too much. And he recognized that. And he was like, Dane played me, and it was the right move, because if he had taken me, then I would have beaten him. And so he should have taken me out, and he did. And kudos to you, man, because I didn't see it coming. I thought if we made it to the final three that we would be in part three together and we'd take each other and I'd win. But that didn't happen because
see it that way. I felt like that Adam was voting for Dane because he was the most Adam-like.
Dane did a great job. He took credit for that eviction, even though obviously Anthony was the one with the vote. He made it seem like I had to do this. I had to target you. Ultimately, it came down to Anthony's vote.
That was a good discussion by Dane in the end.
Yeah. But Dane presenting it as like, this was my move, that me putting you on the block and me making sure that you were the target in the final four eviction. Like, again, the same way that Mark felt like, well, I don't know why I'm moving my mic. The same way that Mark felt like Dane had got one over on him, because of course Mark thought he was staying and then Dane ended up staying. He's like, all right, well, good on Dane for that. Adam, I think, felt the exact same way. Like, oh man, I didn't expect Dane to do that to me, and now he's going to go off and win. So I think he respected it more.
I do think it's kind of funny that Brent is not happy with the fact that Corey is like bitter because she's like upset by him being in the finale, but Adam being like, you know what, I'm a good sport about this, and Brent's upset about that because he's too big of a sport.
The answer is Brent didn't get the outcome he wanted, so he's got to find things to complain about.
I wanted exactly.
I just think it's funny because like I see where you're coming from both, but it's funny because it's like kind of the same thing, but like flipped.
Yes, we're getting questions about an Adam and Dane final two. And I can tell you, this is not confirmed in any way, but I was told that the jury told Adam that they would have voted for him over
Dane. Now, that is secondhand knowledge at the moment. I will be asking them later, but that is what I heard at the taping. So that is something to consider here. Adam.
Yes, I was going to address so Ken Vose in the chat. It's like, I really hope Brent does not sour on Dane like he did with Paris. No chance of that happening. Like, I feel like Dane knows what he did. He knows when he lied. He knows when he swore on his father and then went back on it. He knows all of this. He's willing to own his bullshit and admit to it. I don't believe that there's any part of Dane that's delusional at all. And I don't believe that the jury voted bitterly. So, no, it's not going to be the same result. Thank you. Bye.
I think you're probably already blocked, though. So
yeah, so it doesn't matter. Can I say something that was a little annoying tonight, which was when they would do those like montages and things. Where, like, first of all, I like those sometimes when they show the reactions of the jury and they show the reactions of the people, so you can see like, oh, this is their first time watching these sorts of scenes, and now they're getting these realizations. And I felt like they only barely gave us jury reactions. We didn't get much of that. Yeah, it's
because their reactions were good. Like when they saw Damien going in and pretty much everything Damien related, they were shocked. Sam and Corey were like holding on to each other. They were like, what the hell? Like, Kira was turning around.
We needed more of that. I feel like we need a wide shot of that. And you just put like a close up of Damien being like,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, cool. Like, wow, we know nothing. And then the first half of each montage, it'd just be full screen with no little like insert screen. And so we'd just be like, okay, like we're just literally rewatching stuff we already saw. Like, I don't care about this. And then they'd show a little like thing with one person's reaction, which really wasn't even a good reaction. And it's like, if you're going to show these montages, show, like, we've seen this stuff. We want to see what the jury is reacting to with this stuff. And then afterwards, ask them questions about specific things that you saw. Like, I just feel like there wasn't enough of that. I wanted more of like, this is our first time seeing this, and this is our perspective on what's going on. I wanted more from Chelsea. I want, not that she didn't give a good answer. I wanted them to ask more questions to her and to Kiki. And I just feel like we glossed over it, so we could talk to Mackie and Kaylin and those people who, like, okay, who cares? I want to hear from like these people who have been very active on Twitter. Good. I want to hear from people who have been active on Twitter, like knowing the Pretty Boys stuff, like Kiki and Chelsea. I want to hear them being like, we tried to convince you guys. Like, I've seen you
did
guys.
Did Chelsea try to convince anyone of anything?
I don't hear that at all.
I want to hear that. Why
did Chelsea try to do anything like that?
Plenty of that on Twitter, and it's totally not even what they should be saying at this point.
I want them to confront. Like, I wanted.
I want that if it's true. But I mean,
yeah. I'd like that if they were like, all right, guys, you know, I did try, but I was also fooled by them.
Well,
like,
that
level of self-awareness.
Like, yeah, no, I meant that sort of thing. Like, remember when Jessica from Big Brother, what was it, 20? No, 18? 19? I don't remember.
19.
Yes, and she was like, you guys were all completely played. This was Paul's season. Like, I wanted to see something like that. Like, I wanted to see something where they confront them being like, this look like you guys were totally snowed. The Pretty Boys were controlling the game. Anthony controlled your HOH, Corey. Like, I wanted to hear more of that.
Kira. Yes.
Right.
I wanted
and then
that.
To see their reactions. Instead, we get Sam being all nice. Like, Kira, like, you're so great. It's like, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear them being like, what?
That's why Kaylin was so great. She came straight for Kira.
Do you get me?
I didn't see.
I guess that went over my head. I didn't get that. Yeah,
I didn't get that at all. I was just like, okay, cool.
I wonder
cool.
if they cut it out. She was hard against Kira. Like,
oh,
it was,
well, they cut it out. Yeah, we didn't hear
any
of that.
They must have cut it out because I didn't hear that.
So what did she say to Kira?
What did she say?
Oh, I wish that I had played your game.
She did say that.
Like,
yeah, we saw that. Cowtowing
to power, you know, cooking for them in the kitchen all day.
She's like, I wish I would have just cooked more so that, like, I could do nothing.
I think they cut out the good stuff because I didn't hear that.
No, they did say that, but it was like, I just didn't feel like that was... I didn't feel like it was anything. It was kind of just like, I mean, I don't know.
The audience gave like a ooh, like
it did nothing
like,
for
oh
me.
Okay.
We were all trying to be very gentle with Kira. We knew that, you know, it was a very big emotional moment and everyone was trying to be, and then then Kaylin comes in and Kaylin's like, well, let me tell you about Kira's game and what
Thank
I would have liked
Kaylin.
To do.
Yes. Kaylin for all stars. Thank you.
I would be here for it.
It was like, I guess it was like a dig at Kira, but it was not pointed really. And it didn't really say like, this is what you did wrong in the game. Instead, it was like, well, I wish I did nothing in the game.
Yeah, by the way,
like, well,
yeah,
like,
but I mean, that's
It's the way to do it.
Speaking of pre-jurors, did we cover Eddie and his outfit yet? And
we covered Eddie and his outfit. Okay. Like, amazing. Gagging me, Matt. Absolutely gagging me. Also, the fact that Eddie seems like he would have been an Anthony vote. I'm really bummed that he was evicted during the double eviction. He recognizes good gameplay when he sees it. I like it.
That's another thing I pointed out in Anthony's game recap, which is that he let people like Kaylin and Eddie go, who I do believe would have been votes for him on the jury. So that's another thing to think about. In terms of the montages, I can try to remember the reactions. Yeah. As Matt said, Adam in particular was like so aghast at Damien that he went in early and then saw him make the alliance with Dane, and he was looking at Damien like, oh my god, like I guarantee he was asking like, what the hell, like how did you not blow us up? And Damien was just like,
bored.
I'm just here to look pretty and like lay around and do bad raps. Like, I'm sorry, I'm a little annoyed with Damien right now. I know y'all love him, but I'm just annoyed with people. Like, I'm annoyed with people that don't play hard.
No, I'm annoyed as well. I also didn't love some of the players in this season. I thought I shared your frustration with Esty. Esty was completely terrible. Nothing for me as soon as Kiki left. It was so sad seeing like the Kiki and Esty part of this, like their stuff in the montage, because I was like, this was something fun in the beginning of the season, and then they got split up, and then it was like Esty was nothing until they got evicted. It was just
she was literally nothing.
So that was unfortunate.
I'm dumber even listening to her.
Esty was having some great I think that Esty is one of the better jury members in terms of self-awareness, where she is absolutely willing to be like, I messed up so bad, guys, I am so sorry. Anytime that that they were talking about how the pretty boys were able to get away with what they did, or they showed her on the screen, like being like, I don't think that's real. She was like, oh my God. What an idiot.
I liked her speech in the end when she voted and was like, I told myself I wasn't going to be a bitter juror or whatever. And I thought that was great.
And the frustrating part is just the fact that like we watched this go down over the past however many weeks, Final Five and on was a lot of fun for us. But the weeks of watching Sam, Corey, Esty, Damien go out, like we knew that this was going to be their reaction in a couple weeks time. We knew they were going to be sitting at the finale watching this montage with their hands in their head thinking, wow, we're so stupid. How did we let that happen? Mm-hmm. So that's why the season was dragged down so much for people who didn't enjoy it, because we knew that this was going to happen. We knew they were going to react this way. And there was nothing that anybody was doing at the time to make it stop. So it's beautiful. Like relieving beautiful. To finally see it happen, that see their reactions that we knew were coming, but it's still frustrating to like look back and be like, come on, you didn't have to go. It didn't have to happen this way.
Sam also had a great reaction. I don't know if this was shown, but when Adam did the I'm too pretty for this right in front of Sam, and they showed that clip, Sam was just like, oh, you. Like,
that was funny on feed. Yeah.
Yeah. She was so like, I can't believe you did that, Adam.
That's
we
so
were like,
bad.
Really, Adam? Like right in front of her? Like you guys are, come on. But yeah, you got away with it.
I'm very interested to see to hear the interviews with all the people who we haven't really gotten to interview yet in terms of like the people, the jury. Like, yeah, you interviewed them, but you couldn't really talk to them about the game because they were in the jury. So I'm very excited for them to watch the season and to hear what they thought and, you know, what they wish they would have done differently or anything like that.
Yeah, I can say that like the montages as well, it was we've heard all season long from the house guests that it's very, very hot in the Big Brother house. They are not lying. In the studio, it was
really
deadly. It was deadly.
We were in here for a while. And it was hot
in there. I was dying. I was like, I am going to die.
Taryn seemed like he was going to pass out. I mean, I was hot, but like, I didn't, Taryn might've actually like passed out. I don't know. We had no water.
Taryn's a cold, like, icy bitch. That's why. Cause,
Big Brother US house is known as being freezing. So it's interesting that Big Brother Canada is really hot.
Yeah,
great experience. I'm so glad we got to go to the finale. It was so much fun, but it was hot and it was long.
Is there anything else that you guys want to talk? Of course, no. I don't know if you watched the finale, though.
Here's what happened. So first of all, as we went in, we ran into a friend of mine, as we've talked about recently on the roundtable, Aika Wong. We ran into Aika.
Aika, oh my God, how we forgot about her. Oh my God.
She said hi. She said she did say hi to you.
Okay.
Hi, Aika. Yes, we took a picture. Everything was great. Aika was incredibly lovely. And she doesn't hate me.
Good. No. Good.
Can confirm. It seems like if there was any kind of rivalry,
asked like a good 20 times, and she was like, "No, I definitely don't hate it."
"So this is good. We're good, right? Like we don't have to, you know, have this anymore. Like everybody can be friends now." And she's like, "No. I love him.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm so sorry that I forgot to talk about the round table. Finally, a woman is running the round table. Queen Aika.
Didn't Sarah?
I don't want to change anybody, Sarah did run one.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm glad that they brought in Aika because she is the breakout star of Big Brother Canada. Aika's just left and right, hired by this person, that person.
She's everywhere.
She's fantastic. I really like the way she ran that round table. I would have liked a little bit more of it. I felt like we got a little bit shortchanged. I would have enjoyed hearing from them a little bit more in depth about how they viewed the final three. I felt like they really tried to paint Kira in the best light possible.
They tried to show that this is anybody's game. I hate that. I want to hear what they actually think. Not like, let's pick out little clips of like Adam and Sam being like, Kira's really great. They're so strong. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure they just like handpicked a couple clips of them saying positive things about each person and then put them in there. It's like, I want to hear the real stuff.
Yeah.
Can I also say before we get too far away of like behind the scenes stuff?
It was
really cool at the end. You know, when the cameras cut on Big Brother finale, Survivor finales, you're always like, oh, what happens now? I thought it was adorable. As soon as it ended, Dane and Anthony, notably, Dane like ran over rows of chairs, like stomped on each chair to get to his family, gave them all big hugs. And it was just like when you're already crying from like those touching moments, like he ran to them, gave them huge hugs. It was adorable.
So great.
I think they show that he made a beeline to Coco there in the audience.
Yeah. Anthony found his mom. I think Adam found like his friend or whatever. The Lone Ranger in the chat saying we saw that. Happy to hear that.
We saw parts of it. Yeah. I don't remember him jumping over the chairs, but I remember him going straight to that person. He ran there. Yeah.
Yes. So. But in terms of the round table, I agree. I think this was a situation where they had already kind of made up their minds. And there was not a lot of like debate or discussion. It was mostly just edited in a way to try to make it seem like it could go anyway. And that does bring up one more thing about this is something that I was talking to Matt on our way back, which is that, this is another unanimous vote. And something that I've been thinking about is that in Big Brother US, it was not until Dan Gieseling season 10 that a unanimous vote ever happened. And then we saw another one recently on Big Brother Celebrity. And then we've seen a few in Big Brother Canada season 5 and now season 7. And similarly on Survivor, it wasn't until season 10 that a unanimous vote happened. And then another big gap, season 18, another one happened. And nowadays on Survivor, it seems like almost every other season is a unanimous vote. I'm curious about that in the sense that it does seem like unanimous votes are a lot more commonplace these days. And I wonder if it has something to do with the way that jurors are sequestered, where in the early seasons, they used to be more strict about jurors talking to each other, you know, about game and trying to, you know, be with each other and all of that stuff. But nowadays they really do talk a lot. They collude. They discuss the vote. They really want to vote as a group. And I wonder if this is something that we have to start looking at more to come in terms of like, all right, well, unanimous votes are really just becoming more of a thing now, Melissa.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is true. And I think that it's interesting because I think that people when they're in the jury house, I just think everyone's voting as a group. I don't think people want to be that one holdout person. They don't want to give, they want to be part of like, yes, I crowned this winner. I helped crown the winner. This is who I want to win. Even if they're thinking initially, well, I want to vote for the other person. I think if they feel like the votes are going a specific way, they'll vote for that person just so that they can say they were a part of the win because then if you vote for the person who doesn't win, then you've kind of lost as well, or at least you might feel that way. And so I think that that's the situation. And I think people want to be part of the win and they want to be like, yep, I did that. I made that. I gave them that win. And they don't want to be the person who's left out in the cold.
Yeah, if there was anybody that might have been voting for Anthony, I feel like Kira definitely could have been a solid Anthony vote. I feel like they probably wanted to, but
when Dane didn't take Kira to the final two, I thought for sure Mark might consider voting for Anthony at that point, like to make that kind of a move and not take Kira to the end.
Mark was cheering the whole time for everything Anthony said. I really thought that he might have had a couple votes there. But I guess, like I was saying, when Kira got there and saw that there was nobody else voting for.
Yeah, Noah Salmon Anthony. In the chat wrote, all North American jury vote counts since Big Brother 18. So there was like five to four, 5-4, 6-3, 4-3, 5-4. And then like there's some 9-0, 9-0, 7-0. So it's either like a split vote. There's no like 8-1s or 7-2s. It's just it's either unanimous or it's split. And yeah, and I'm kind of
about that. I apologize. I for some reason I had it in my head that that Tom had won unanimously on season 10. That was not the case on Survivor. It wasn't until season 18, I believe, that JT won unanimously.
No, someone said 14. Earl won a unanimous. I think.
Oh yeah, Earl. How did I forget about Earl? I'm sorry, guys.
I love it when you make mistakes. It makes me feel so good.
I can't believe Earl is like the best winner.
Is he? That's Earl. A take.
I think Earl is one of the best winners. One of the best winners.
I love it. Taryn's like grasping for answers, like, oh no, it's 10. Oh no, it's 14. Oh God.
He said 10 earlier, and I didn't correct him because I also didn't remember myself. So yeah,
for the record, none of you saw that. None of you knew any of that.
Why are we just supposed to assume that you're always right?
It is
facts?
Wrote. I mean, you said it, and you're always right. Facts. I was like, well, okay.
That's something to consider is that I've always proposed that that the jury should be a little extra sequestered.
Yeah, it does feel like they want, they're like, well, okay, it's us now, it's us. Mm-hmm. We can control things. Mm-hmm. We can take control of things. Like they had control, now we have control. And I don't want it to be like that. I don't mind a little bit of talking, but I do like the older days when like the handlers were in there and they would try to make sure that they didn't really talk about the game very much until the round table. That's what I would like.
And it's just impressive to me the fact that, you know, this was a unanimous vote. It would have been a unanimous vote either way for Dane, who we took, you know. So again, just giving more props to him that, you know, it was 7-0 for Anthony and it was 7-0. It would have been versus
Karen,
Kira.
Who did we say on the round table would win if it was Dane versus Anthony? I feel like we didn't have a unanimous vote for that one.
We had it 4-3, and I had it 4-3 for Anthony. But
I had it instead of 4-3 for. I thought I had it 5-2, thinking that Mark would flip over if the votes weren't there, and then then we learned that Corey was not a vote, and then at that point I thought it was either 6-1, and then watching it live, I was looking at Kira and I was like, I think this is going to be. Either 6-1 or unanimous. And I definitely leaned toward unanimous looking at the way that Kira, especially when Kira had to go and cast their vote, they looked like they were trying to swallow medicine. And I really felt like that was going to be a Dane vote.
That's what I'm saying. They were so torn. It looked like they just genuinely didn't know what to do.
They vote for Anthony. God, I'm like, if I was on reality TV and I was on jury and someone stabbed me in the back and I felt strongly about it, I'd go up there. I don't care if I'm, it's 10
well,
to
Dane,
1.
Dane got them right where he was like, well, you were going to do the same thing to me that I just did to you.
Yeah,
so I don't
totally
know why.
And
that's, I think
I,
that's what
I
that
thought
was.
He was just saying that. I didn't realize that because last I heard Kira was going to take Dane to the final.
No, we were speculating that and it seemed like that might have been a possibility. But it sounds like both of them were aware that even though they were saying that to each other, that they were going to take them to take
and
one
I
another.
Also
that,
think,
that wasn't the case.
I also think Kira is the type of person to have called out that was wrong had it been wrong. I think that they kind of stepped
and they
back
just
and were
they
like,
were quiet. They were just like,
but I think they would have been like, no, I wouldn't have. Well, like I think that they would have said that.
Kira did want to keep talking. I believe they asked like, hey, can I ask another question? I think they asked for another question. Although I didn't quite hear all of it.
Do you see Kira talking to the wrong camera? That was
Yeah. And then when Kira was evicted and then they came out to talk to Arissa was definitely like, she was like herding cats at that point. Like she's like trying to get it. Kira. Okay. Like we're good. Like we needed quick sound bites and then you're off. But Kira wanted to keep talking. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like seeing in person only reinforces my opinion that this should be a lot longer. I think that like seeing it on the show, there's part of me that feels like, well, there's probably like some stuff that was edited out. It's not really that fast. It's just an edited show. No, it was over just like that. And I was like, was that
Yeah. It definitely should be, but I don't know. I think it's just I think we're at the point where this is just not part of the Big Brother Canada game, as awful as that is. And as you know, it's something that we've grown used to having.
Everything else. Why can't we complain about this?
Who said, I didn't say you can't complain. I definitely think you can complain. I'm just saying.
But every time I mention it, everyone was like, well, it's just the way it is, though.
No.
I agree with you that I think it should be a part of it. It's just it seems like that's not going to be a part of it.
I'm going to complain because, and I do this every single finale for Big Brother, because Big Brother does terrible finales. They really do for both US and Canada. We need to do jury questioning, not live, not at the finale night. They need to have asked the jury questions. Fine, I'll get an edited package of jury questions. That's fine. But I want them to talk to the person like they do on Survivor. I want it to be like that back and forth dialogue where the people actually have a chance to try and convince them. Well, and then they wait for a minute or whatever they have to do before then they cast their vote.
Here's the thing.
Then we do it. Then we have a reunion where people can actually talk.
Karen would have died if we were there for another 2 hours.
No, but then you cut out all the jury questioning from that and you just have the setup package. That's the thing. Like,
I think the Big Brother Canada can do it. Because they're a taped show. But the problem is they're, as far as I can tell, and I've only been to the taping one time, they're what we call like live to tape, meaning like they tape the show, but it's basically what you see in the studio is basically what ends up on the show. It's like The Price is Right. When you go there, they're live to tape as well, where they're down during the commercials. But other than that, it's going at about the pace that it takes to tape the show. I feel like that's the reason why they won't give us that, Melissa, because in order to, they could do something like that because they are taped. You're correct. They can give us what Survivor does, which is a little bit more back and forth stuff, and then give us the good stuff and then edit it down. But the problem I think they're confronting is the fact that this is such a quick turnaround. It's a 3-hour turnaround from the time that they end till the show. And obviously they have to have
Don't they end earlier? Like, why don't they already pick the winner earlier, like days earlier, like Survivor does? Then they have them go do the finale, cut out all the garbage segments where it's like these, you know, montages of stupid things people did. And then, you know, the pretty boys doing this a bunch of times, cut out the stuff where they literally do a giant recap of the whole season. Yeah, we saw it. We know what happened. Also cut out the recap of every single pre-juror. Why did we need to see that? I don't care about any of those people. So cut all that out, cut all the garbage filler out. You can use the filler time to air this pre-crafted segment of the three challenges, whatever, the final HOH, you do the jury, then you have a package of the jury questioning and like discussion. Then you bring everyone out. Oh, it's the live finale. And now we're going to read the votes. And then you read the votes. And then you have the reunion afterwards where everyone comes out and can see each other for the first time. And you don't have this weird thing where the final two are stuck in like behind a camera, like waving at the people. They're not even in the same room. It's
not even in the same building.
Then you have this long segment where the person then has to go drive in a golf cart or whatever to go from one place to the other so that they can come out. It's not the emotion isn't really there. Like, remember, Dane is like sobbing as he wins. Then then you have that period of time where he's being carted over to the other studio.
To be fair, that's the old studio.
And also, Arissa made a point of telling us that was wrong. That at the old studio as well, they were actually also in the same building. But in this building as well, the house is right there,
literally right there.
Yeah, but they should come out the door. Look, all I'm saying is that I think
we heard Dane scream at one point because he just walked out and he was screaming right behind the stage. Like,
all I'm saying is that Survivor knows how to do it. Big Brother doesn't know how to do it, and they need to like get it together. Because their finales are always so.
Well, here's the thing: Big Brother Canada, they take the feeds down like what, Saturday or Sunday? Like, feeds have been down for like 4 or 5 days. Like, they could easily like do part one, part two, part three, literally taped, like without the feeds being on. We wouldn't know. Again, none of
us have no idea.
We didn't know who won part one and part two. We didn't even know. Twitter didn't even know who was evicted in final four. All of that stayed secret. All of that was totally embargoed in secret. So I don't understand why they can't do something like this where Melissa's talking about, where they determine who's in the final two, let the jury ask the questions that they want, have some good back and forth, have a great finale, and then read the votes on finale night. I mean, if you're gonna have a tape show, have a tape show.
Actually tape it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously agree. This is what I've been advocating for a while. I think that their main hangup is that they want the final part three of the final three HOH live. And I think that's the same reason that Big Brother US does it. And in order to do that, to get to the final two live, that means they also have to fit the questioning in after
the
fact.
Well, we don't need that.
I agree.
The return on the investment. Well,
here we are. You don't need to do that.
Especially for Big Brother Canada, who rarely airs their HOH competitions live anyway. Why start now?
I just think the return on your investment for having part three live, that is such a big invoice. You lose all of this other great material and content, especially at the end of the season when we really want to see it all. Like, just tape it and take the feeds down for 5 days. Like, that's what you do basically anyway. Why do you need this? Just to have part three live? Which it isn't live anyway, but that's what you're saying it is. I mean, it's just, I feel like I know who's going to win it beforehand every season anyway. Like, I can't remember. I'm trying to remember the last season. I was actually shocked. I guess I was shocked with Paris, but I don't know. I just tape the damn thing. Give us some good jury stuff. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and not to mention the fact that the show gets spoiled anyway. The one finale,
thing the one thing I will say is that something that Big Brother Canada that I haven't gotten to talk about this yet, but the one thing that Big Brother Canada does a lot better than Big Brother US, not the one thing, obviously they do a bunch of things better, but just one thing I want to bring up is that recap episode where they have the awards. Big Brother Canada does that properly because they show them these clips and you can see their reactions to it. Like, 'cause we've already seen these clips. We know what they are. But the fun part for us is getting to see their reactions to these clips rather than in Big Brother US where they have them just talk about random moments. Like, oh, remember that one time when so-and-so did this? And then we have to sit through watching like clips we've already seen before, but they don't show them to the house guests. So it's not like we get their fun reactions to these clips. We just have to suffer through these clips again of moments we don't care about. And that's something that like I never watched that episode in Big Brother US. I always skip right past it, but I love watching the awards episode because that's one of the few times that they actually get to watch themselves in the house when they haven't gotten to see it yet.
I agree with that. By the way, I'm also going to come for Laura in the pre-jury who said, you know, this is an amazing season. We talked about, you know me, I always keep it 100. I'm like, honey, you did not keep it 100 with what you just said. That was bullshit.
Yeah,
that does bring up one of the statistics I have here. The Big Brother Wiki on Twitter sent me some statistics, and one of them was that as of right now, the average rating of the season is ranked at second place of any Big Brother Canada season, and it actually has the opportunity here, depending on how the ratings fall for the final week of the show, to surpass Big Brother Canada 4 in being the highest rated season of the entire show's run. And so I do feel like there is a little bit of a disconnect between the online community and the average viewer, and also me, apparently, because I also loved the season and I thought it was great.
You know what? I'm so happy to hear that. That's amazing news. We had so much effort to get Big Brother Canada brought back after it went on hiatus or got canceled or whatever that was. And then last season was amazing. Some people enjoyed this season somehow over there. But I want season 8. I want season 9, season 10. Keep it coming. I'm so happy about
and
it.
I also want to say, I thought that the way that this season finished, I can understand why some people didn't enjoy parts of the body of the season, but I thought that this finish was one of the best finishes of any Big Brother season. It was very, very strong. The editing was on point. The emotion was on a whole other level. I thought that was fantastic. We got a great winner out of it. Things were tense all the way up toward mostly the end. So I really thought that it finished very, very strong.
Yeah, good finish, bad like 3/4 of the season, but great finish.
I was laughing because I was like, obviously I was reading Laura for what she said and not keeping it 100. And Ren in the chat says, Laura is a Twitter comment that gets on the show, which is exactly what, that's exactly it. It's like in Big Brother US where they take like that one, benign comment put it on the show. That's exactly what happened with Laura, man.
So I'm just impressed that you found something to come for Laura.
She pissed me off when she went to come for her if she said, well, you know me, I keep it 100. And I'm like, that is like the opposite of 100. What are you talking about? You're like, dumb.
Anybody else getting evicted in that first spot? I feel like we could have had an extra fun week of Laura. I'm still sad about that loss. I don't know how well they would have done in the game, but in terms of being something fun on the feeds, I was expecting that might have been something.
I feel that way about Kaylin myself, but like in terms of like her getting evicted so quickly and losing. And Chelsea too. Like I remember I gave myself the first draft pick for Chelsea, and then she just totally blows it. And also she blows her shade at the end too, when she's like the peanut butter and jelly boys or whatever. Yeah,
say it. You gotta go through it.
Honey, didn't work.
Yeah. I will say, Adam, when Laura said that this was a great season, Adam was so happy. Like he clearly cares so much about providing a good season.
You're gonna get a rude awakening on Twitter. All right, it'll probably just be like the people that block me, and then they just like listen to the people that sing their praises all the time.
Poor Adam is going to be disillusioned because the casual fans loved the season. Apparently they all watched it. But the hardcore fans are going to turn against me.
But at least people love Adam.
They're going to see the ratings and be like, this was a great season.
Exactly.
So, that's what we all care about.
This is why the hardcore fan community gets a bad rep sometimes. Is that they're gonna be seemingly the negative Nancys of the
we know what we want. We know what we like, and we want what we want.
Well, our quibble really isn't with Adam. I mean, he played as well as
we love
Adam.
Did
exactly what he said he was gonna do, even though I thought it was crazy. He went in there and he did it. It was all these other people who were just like, oh well, there couldn't be a guy alliance. I mean, what are we like in grade school or something? Like yeah, and maybe listen to your gut sometimes when it's telling you something. I can't believe how many times they showed Esty like just totally poo-pooing the idea of a guy.
Those clips are so bad. Like
they make her look so bad.
She's not gonna ever be able to forget that. Like, oh yeah, I thought that was a joke. Like I couldn't imagine that was a real thing. And Anthony's like,
yeah.
Yikes. All right. Well, I can tell you a little bit more about the experience that we had at the taping, because basically what happened was when we ran into Aika, I was not invited to the backyard because I'm doing my interviews tomorrow. Only the insiders had an invite to the backyard. But when I talked to Aika, she said, "Don't they know who you are? I'm going to make sure you get in there." But unfortunately, we kind of lost touch with Aika and didn't manage to talk to Arissa before we left. So we came back. I sent Arissa a message like, "Hey, sorry we missed you." And Arissa was like, "What? Excuse me? Where are you?" And luckily, I'm smart and decided to stay right near the house in the hotel. And so, so I was like, "We're still nearby." And Arissa was like, "Get over here. Get over here." Aika and Arissa, both wonderful, wonderful people, helped get us into the backyard.
Oh,
and it was amazing. We stepped foot into the house. We sat in the final two chairs.
I don't think we were supposed to do.
Look, well, we did it. We did it. We sat in the final two chairs. We got a picture with the final four. We got a picture with Aika and Arissa. They were great. It was an incredible experience. And I just want to thank both Aika and Arissa. Aika also then drove us back to the hotel. So you have Aika to thank that we managed to get back to the podcast on time.
Wow.
Experience and then some. Queen Arissa.
Yeah, I think Arissa made a comment at some point we got to get a picture with at least Taryn. You know, this guy has been talking about everything going on in the season every single day. So
Taryn works hard. She knows hard.
It was very, very nice of them to be so kind with letting us go back there and see everybody and whatnot. And it was amazing.
Yes. That's and I want to thank the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast for making all of this possible for me. It's your support, guys, from the patrons that make patrons, this kind of thing possible. If you want to become one of them, I highly encourage you to check out the Patreon page. You can find it through Rob Has a website or wherever else. The patrons are the best, and we will be talking about the patron group Stockwatch game
on the next roundtable, as well as the Reddit one, and we'll update all of that stuff toward the end. But I just I'm so grateful for the experience that I've had here. It's been such a great time, and I want to thank the patrons and Arissa and Aika. They were all absolutely wonderful. So they did not have to go out of their way to get us in there.
They didn't have to do that, honestly, because you know I was considering like, you know, maybe I might ask Taryn if I can go to this, but I think, to be honest, I'm going to be real with you. You know, I'm like Laura. I keep it 100 with you all. Like I was like, I don't really care about the pretty boys. Like if there's a season I want to go to, it's definitely not Big Brother 7 finale. But the fact that you got to like go into the house and like you were with Arissa and Aika and you got to take pictures with all of them, that is everything. That is so freaking cool. I'm so happy for you guys.
I looked at Arissa and I was like, this is so weird. I don't know where, like, I don't know how to process this. And she's like, what? I'm like, I'm in the house.
Yes.
Like, I'm here.
Oh, it's so great.
Crazy.
Okay. Yes.
So jealous.
And Matt and I will be at the, there's going to be some kind of alumni club thing happening tomorrow night. If you are in the area, you probably know what that is. If you don't, then you can look it up. We'll probably try and tweet some detail. We will be there if you want to come and say hi to us, even though there are a lot cooler people that are going to be hanging out there. But if you want to say hi to us, we will in fact be there. And I will of course also be at the building with the final three tomorrow. I believe that will end at around 2 p.m. And so I'm going to try and turn those videos around. I'll be doing video interviews with the final three, and I'll try to turn those around and get those out to you as soon as possible tomorrow. We'll ask as many questions as we can of these final three and get some answers out of them.
Excellent. Yes. I'm glad Matt is there with you, Taryn. You have a wingman when you go to this club thingy or whatever it is you're going to do tomorrow. It should be fun. By the way, Arissa looked absolutely gorgeous.
I think she's so great. I just love that you can tell that she's so passionate about it.
She really is so passionate about the show. She tweeted a picture earlier this week of her when she was pregnant, of like from way back when she was on a different show. And then she tweeted a picture now. Oh, she's just, doesn't matter how pregnant she is or not, she's glowing.
She looked amazing. She's got the greatest energy. She's just start to finish. I don't know how she's such a professional the whole time, but
like I talk with her during the season. Like, did you see that on the feeds? Did you see that?
She's like, yes, I saw
yes,
that.
Like, I saw it. You can see her on Twitter. She's talking to everybody about it. Like, she said we were so lucky to have her. Canada's so lucky to have her. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I got a question from Sandra who wanted to know, did Anthony seem surprised or sad that he lost? He did seem a little quiet to me. After the whole thing happened, he was definitely very happy for Dane and proud of what they accomplished, but he was definitely, I think, just a little more quiet than we would expect from Anthony.
Well, that will change once he gets out into the real world and hears people like us, or at least myself. I know you're with me on this, you guys, who like just absolutely praise Anthony's game from start to finish. We saw everything that he did, even if everybody else didn't. It was like, it's so much more amazing. Like, they realize Anthony's a great player, but they don't realize how good he was. And I'm really psyched for him to hear from people who can appreciate his level of thinking within the Big Brother social game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm excited to talk to him tomorrow and, make sure he knows that his game
please.
Was respected.
I want him to, yes, please let him know that we get him. Like, we love him. We saw everything that he did and how just astonishing he was. I just don't want that. I don't want this weekend to end and him not realize that.
Yes. I'm trying to read this question. I've seen it a few times from Stacked. I haven't really understood. If Adam's
okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'll ask it because it's a question to you. Okay, so Stacked, I didn't understand this question either. I was like, what? There's like five ellipses in it. Okay, so Taryn, question to nothing. I'm not coming for you, Stacked. You know I love you. Okay, I keep it 100, like Laura. If Adam had not said, you cut me, Dane will cut you for final two and take Kira, meaning when he's talking to Anthony, would Dane have still taken Kira instead of Anthony? Basically, what Stacked is saying here is, did in Adam saying what he said at the final four eviction vote, did he basically box in Dane to taking Anthony? Because Adam was like, look, Dane's going to take Kira if you cut me. Like, basically, Dane wanted to, it seems like Dane wanted to prove Adam wrong, but I don't think that really had anything to do with the eggs, Darren.
I think if anything, it opened the door for him to make the move to cut Anthony, that to have Adam, who was the most loyal, be like, this is the obvious move.
Obviously,
basically giving him permission to do it, that even Adam, who was a pretty boy loyalist, would not be upset about it. I think if anything, it made him more likely to take Kira, but he ultimately did not. There you go.
Okay.
So anything else that we need to touch here before we start to wrap things up?
Anything else from you guys, Matt? Anything anybody saw in the audience? Did anybody catch Taryn or Matt on the TV screen?
We were kind of off in the back, like a little bit farther away.
Don't they know who you are? Oh, sorry.
they put press on like the side where the camera is not really angled in that direction. They put the family and all of that stuff in the prime camera spot. But we had a good spot in terms of the view.
Yeah, great view. Got to see the cameras, the TVs, and all that stuff. It's cool to see that side of
Many of the alumni was there? Or did you get to talk with any of them? The only
alumni there were Aika and Sarah.
And Holly.
Holly was part of the season too.
I forgot about her. Wow. Like she was actually there.
Robin, alumni.
Yeah, Robin Cass was also there. Well, I was wondering too why there weren't any alumni, and then at the like sixth hour of Heatstroke, I was like, oh, this is why they're not here. That's why.
Was Holly with the pre-jurors or not?
No, she
was sitting near Sarah.
Oh, okay. That's why I wondered, because like the chat was asking about it earlier. Of course, I kept calling her Molly, even though she was on my draft team. Whatever.
Just like our robbed queen friend Kirsten last season was not with the pre-jurors. She was off on the side as well. Yeah.
Big Brother All Stars next season. Kaylin, Kirsten, make it happen.
Kirsten's got it. Right. I have confidence.
Final two.
That's what we had. Any other questions? Did Kirsten go? No, unfortunately, Kirsten did not. Was not able to make it out to the.
Hard to get tickets too.
Yeah, well, that was one of the first things that when I found out I was going, I was like, Kirsten's going to go, obviously. And so I was like, hey, are you going?
Matt, does that make you sad that he thought of Kirsten first?
Oh no, not at all. I can't complain about anything right now.
I wouldn't either.
I would ask Kirsten first too.
What's my favorite thing about Toronto? There's two airports and one of them's like right there in the city and it's a cool airport. That's my favorite thing about Toronto.
My favorite thing about Toronto are the boys and the casinos. There you go.
There you go. And also, of course, Big Brother.
Yeah, of course, Big Brother.
In Toronto.
Of course, duh.
I think that's what we have for you. There will of course still be a final wrap-up roundtable next week. I believe we said Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm, that's what we're going for. Yep.
Yes. So we're going to be aiming for Thursday night next week. We will wrap up the season. We'll hopefully have some more interviews to go over to talk about the game some more. We will do the final stock watch stuff. We'll reveal the winner of the stock watch.
Oh, come on.
Whatever, Taryn. We're
outsider,
we're not
in I say
suspense.
No one cares.
We'll find out who won the stock watch in case anyone had any doubt in me. We will rate the players. We'll give the players a final rating. That will be fun. We'll talk about the season as a whole. We'll talk about where we place Dane in the overall scheme of things. There'll be lots to talk about as we recap the whole season next week with some more information. We're not gonna be gone for too long. The Big Brother 21 is starting up in just over a month or so, I believe. And in the time between Big Brother Canada 7 and Big Brother 21, we are going to do our season ranking podcast, the update. Ooh. We did one like 4 years ago at this point. There are plenty of new seasons to talk about, and we never talked about the Big Brother Canada seasons in that podcast. So what we are going to do is rank all of the seasons. We're going to do all of the US seasons in one chunk and then do an addendum, a second podcast with the Canadian seasons, placing them in the overall ratings of all the seasons. So that should be a lot of fun. So look forward to that in the weeks following the wrap-up roundtable as well. We'll get more information out for you there. So
lots of stuff to look out for. Again, tomorrow I'm going to be interviewing the final three. Look out for all of that on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. And also, lots of pictures were taken in the backyard, and in a video as well was taken by Aika. That will all go up on my Instagram if you want to find it. Armstrong Taren or Taren Armstrong or
one of the two.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, Taren underscore Armstrong, actually, I think it is.
Really good plug. Oh, very specific.
Yes. So, you know, find that stuff there. So much great stuff happening. I hope you guys enjoyed the coverage that we've done all season long. I've had a lot of fun covering the season. That's what we have for you. Any final words, Brent?
Great winner, not my personal preference, but a great winner in nonetheless. And Big Brother Canada finales visually still keep killing it. Pacing wise, a little bit to be desired. I didn't need as many montages, but again, how lucky are we to have Arissa and such a great fan base too in Big Brother Canada, who just really loves their show. I'm happy the ratings are keep going up. I'm really excited for next season. I'm hoping eventually we get a Big Brother All-Stars, but you know, a boy can dream. I can dream.
Yeah, same. Same.
Great job, Dane.
Great winner. Yeah, Dane, great winner. Great end game. That was very fun to watch down the stretch. I'm hopeful that next season we can get a lot of really strong players who play really great games. That's what I'm hoping for. I had fun recapping. I don't think this is my favorite season by any stretch of the imagination, but I had a lot of fun. So that's all you can really ask for at this point.
Yes.
A lot of fun. Thanks for having me, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. No, Matt, thank you for joining us. I'm really happy that you were able to come onto the podcast and give us all of your observations and your tea. It was really great to have you.
Always a fun time talking to you guys. And you guys did such a great job in the season. And, very, very lucky to have you three covering the show. And can't wait for BB21.
Mm-hmm.
Should be fun.
Brew all the tea.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out of this bathroom as well, because it is getting hot in here.
Also, it's past midnight now, and I finally got hungry, Matt, so we're going to have to find
some. We have not eaten since breakfast. Taren had a little bit of lunch, but we have not
eaten. I tried to shove food into my mouth before the taping because we were not allowed any food or water or anything. That was... But we made it through. So that's what we have for you. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Matt is at Matt Ligori, and Melissa is at It's Melissa with three of those A's. Thank you for watching me win another draft. Thank you for watching Big Brother Canada 7, and we'll see you next season.